Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back. We're the Connor Happer Show.
Connor Happer, Josh Hodson with you on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com playing America's Hottest Country and More. We welcome in Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald, fresh off of day one of spring ball for Nebraska football. Hi, Sam.
Hey. How's it going?
Excellent. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah. I still feel awake, even though I woke up very early this morning. Even though I was up late last night loading our final crate and stuff from Denver.
Nice.
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening in the world of sports. So spring football was good today.
What was the big takeaway from Rule today? It feels like to me, you know, there's been some, he's talked about this before, first impressions. And it feels like some guys have made good first impressions and maybe other guys sort of haven't. I guess what's your read on that entire thing and sort of the big picture takeaway from today?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're certainly going to try to wake up guys that they believe they have talent, with suspension versus just telling them they can leave. You know what I mean? And so you got a couple of guys who are suspended, but that's love in a funny way. I mean, they're saying, hey, we want to keep you around. So we want to try to get you where we need to get you on some of the areas that are important to us. And on some level, you know how Rule talks about wearing those smocks during the games or whatever you call them?
Yeah, the smock.
So this is in some ways like a program framework of like, we don't want to have to deal with you not being in class or you not doing what you need to be doing off the field. We want to reduce the amount of drag that we have there, to use a Jim Harbaugh phrase, of like, we don't want to have to spend a lot of time on that. We don't want to have to work through that process. So we want those things to be handled so that the on-field stuff is easier to address. And I think that's some of what they're doing there. Certainly a lot of position changes today. They talked about guys potentially moving positions. Hunter Carberg openly talked about potentially moving if quarterback doesn't work out, which I thought was notable because certainly there's some things he might be able to do on a football field that doesn't involve throwing the football. And you can just tell there's a very different vibe at a couple of positions. We'll learn a little bit more about defense on Thursday when Tony White talks, but yeah, I mean, the running back position, and I wrote about it in the Rewind, that position was going to be completely reimagined coming into the season. And that's not just about Grant being suspended. You can go back to the last three or four games of last season, and that was not. You know, I don't know if he lost confidence in the offensive line or lost confidence in the scheme, but, you know, I mean, being a running back at the collegiate level means hitting the hole as hard as you can and getting what you can get. And then by the end of the football game, people don't want to tackle you anymore, and the 4-yard run turns into 17. And Anthony Grant was trying to get a 17-yard run when there was only 4 available in the first quarter. You can't do that. And so I think they obviously want to give Gabe Irvin a drive and see what he can do. He's sizable. And then Ramir Johnson, who I don't know exactly what happened last year. It doesn't make any difference. Now he's in there. So, it's interesting stuff.
What's your read on the quarterback room? And you sort of mentioned the sense of it. I guess Heinrich Harburg talked today. Too many other guys did. But in your sense from Rule, and then as we continue on, I guess through spring, we'll find out more. What's the just feel in the quarterback room right now? Because that has a leadership component to it too that you have to get into as well. What's the feel on that spot right now?
It's hard to say. You know, it's hard to know exactly where it's going to go. Sims obviously is a leader in that room and has some talent, but Chuba is, you know, intriguing, I think, and they'll have to figure out what he can do and what he can't do. Athletically, he's a great athlete. They knew that last year. But something about, and Chuba got hurt, so that's part of it, but something about his game did not unlock until the first half of the Michigan game, then he got hurt. Like, there was something about his play against Illinois and Minnesota that just wasn't right. And it was very programmatic, and it was very, you know, like, can't get rid of the ball. He just wasn't playing football. And so they've got to unlock that and see what they have once they unlock that. Because if they've got a guy that's, you know, as good as his older brother, but also a pretty good athlete, you might have a really interesting player, and you have to take the time to figure out whether you have that. Harburg is a great athlete. He was a great athlete in high school. In high school, he actually operated in a system that respected his passing skills probably more than his run skills. He could have easily been a 1,000-yard rusher per season in high school if that's what they had wanted. So he's got some ability to run the football. You know, he's got to get – my sense is, based on what I heard last year, he's just got to get better at being consistent. And then I can't tell you much about Torres. You know, we'll have to ask Marcus Satterfield a little bit more about him. Richie certainly had an interesting high school career, did a lot in the time that he was down there, but was also not playing maybe the toughest competition. So, you know, we'll see. I still think it's going to be interesting with Casey Thompson. Are they going to limit him all spring long? Are they going to you know, keep him under wraps? He'll play through a lot. He's very competitive. You know, does he feel like he can just wait it out until next fall and be confident that he's going to, you know, get a run at number one? Because I'm just telling you, Casey Thompson, based on starting in Texas and Nebraska, in theory, could say, well, you know, I could transfer to this place in the offseason and know that I'm going to start.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the interesting question that we're going to have to navigate, and he'll have to navigate. He's got to decide what he wants to do too.
Do you think when we get to talk to Satterfield, I know you've been as vocal as anybody of how interesting sort of that situation is going to be, and I echo those sort of thoughts. Do you think, as it relates to the quarterback position, we get to talk to Satterfield and maybe hopefully get a little better of understanding of sort of what they're going for, that will obviously help inform the quarterback situation a little bit? There's still the KC Thompson injury thing, which you're going to have to, you know, deal with no matter what, but it feels like it goes hand in hand, because we have an understanding of what the quarterbacks sort of can do. We just aren't quite sure yet what they're really going for in offense and what they want their quarterbacks to be.
I think that, you know, what they want to do is probably pretty similar to what, you know, in an ideal universe, what they want to do is pretty similar to what the San Francisco 49ers do, which is play under the center football. You know, they'll play out of the shotgun, but they want to be under center. And you have a different kind of run game when you're under center. You can get to some things when you're under center that you can't, that's hard to get to when you're in the shotgun. So I can see Nebraska moving in that direction and Satterfield taking them that way. You know, with tight ends and H-backs and other things like that. So I think that's where they want to go. You're probably looking at a manager a little bit, somebody who can throw the football off the boot, who doesn't get you in trouble, a lot of different things like that. So we'll see, you know, what he says. He's interesting to me because he's not only going to do what, you know, he wants to do, but what's within rules framework too. And, you know, it's probably not going to be a super wide open spread run offense. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be Michigan, but I think it's going to be closer to what Michigan does than what Ohio State does.
If you're talking about managing, I guess, which does that sound a little bit more like Casey Thompson than it does Jeff Sims?
Not necessarily, because you can manage an offense in a number of different ways, including hey, we want this guy to run 13 times a game.
Yeah, with the legs, yeah.
We want him to run 13 times for about 71 yards or 13 times for 57 yards. And that's how we move the chains, and that's how we keep the football. There's so many different ways to talk about offense and the way that you want to go about it. But one of the things that you can certainly talk about is, you know, if you want to have an offense that holds the ball 30 to 32 minutes per game, and that's a lot. You know, usually 34 is the upper band. But if you want an offense that holds it 32 minutes a game, you're going to have to make first down, right? You're sacrificing some explosiveness for we're going to pound you and we're going to put this thing in between the hash marks and we're going to hit you in the mouth. But on 3rd and 3, we're going to go get that first down, and we're probably not going to go get it by, you know, putting the guy in the shotgun and running, you know, running pro concepts and, you know, or all ins or whatever you want to call it. We're probably going to get 3rd and 3. We're going to get in the shotgun. We're going to have an H-back that he's going to come on a block. He's going to come on a wham block, and we're going to run split zone, or we're going to run a quarterback lead, or there's all kinds of stuff you could do. And that's the thing that they're probably going to have to navigate is, and you don't want to reverse engineer it, but who do you want to be on 3rd down and 3? You can start there and say, who do we want to be on 2nd and 4? Who do we want to be on 3rd and 3? Who do we want to be on 1st and 10? And then you can kind of build it from there. Now, Casey Thompson is not running the ball 13 times a game for 57 yards and surviving the entire season. And he's just not. And it's not his fault. He's tough. Truth is, he puts himself in harm's way a lot because he's tough. And so, you know, there's different things you can do. You can use Wildcats. You can use Jeff Sims, who's 6'4", 220. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But the point, the place where Matt Rhule wants to get, if you think about the end goal, is I think where he wants to get is we're in the 4th quarter, we're up by 3, and we're about to go up by 10. Because we're going to put one more on the board, and that's going to put the game out of reach. And I think what he wants to have is the kind of team that goes into a 4th quarter of a close game, comes out of the 4th quarter with a 7-to-10-point win, and does it by controlling the football. The only way you're able to do that is to start that in the 1st quarter. You don't magically get to the 4th quarter and you haven't put a physical toll. You know, when he says throw body blows, that means you have to have thrown them early in the game. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. And offensive coordinators, my understanding is Satterfield's really smart. And Rhule is too. Really smart people hate being pinned down. So it's hard to ask the question and say, tell me what your guiding light principle is, and like deep down who you want to be more than anything else. And then they'll tell you, well, we want to be multiple and we want to be this. In theory, you can envision 17 different ways of moving the football. But I think where they want to get is what I just said, is that they want to be able to control the football. They want to be able to run it. And then once they establish that, throw off of that. But when it gets to the 4th quarter, to be able to hand it off to Gabe Irvin and just go. And we'll see. That's an identity that Wisconsin has perfected. It is not Iowa's identity, no matter what anybody tells you. Iowa's identity is built on their defense, and that's where they get it done. But it is definitely Minnesota's identity and Wisconsin's identity. That's who they are, and that's how they play football.
Sam, how much did it intrigue you with the couple guys in position changes today? Using Jake Applegate and Janier Bonner, for example, who are known as, I think, really good athletes. They are both moving to sort of Applegate's a tight end. Janier Bonner is sort of like a super back. Matt Rhule called him an F, you know, tight end. You could, you know, line him up outside a little bit. Those are interesting with those guys in particular. I mean, I guess, when you think about that, what does that mean? Not necessarily for those two guys. Obviously, it's important, but does it inform anything about sort of what they're going for?
Well, it does, absolutely. You know, Deebo Samuel is what you're looking with Bonner. So And Samuel's one of the 5 or 10 best players in the NFL when he's healthy, in my opinion. He's terrific. Now, his role's changed a little bit with the 49ers now that Christian McCaffrey's there, and it's trickier. I don't think those two guys are going to stay on the same roster for that long, to be honest with you. Because they went and got Christian, and Christian does a lot of the things that Samuel does, so I don't know that you necessarily need to use him in quite the same way. But that's what they're kind of looking for. They had this guy at South Carolina. The guy they had at South Carolina was pretty damn talented, and he was probably better than anybody Nebraska has, although Bonner, you know, physically has the components to be that way. Applegate in high school, and you know this, Connor, you called high school games down here. Applegate was probably a better receiver than he was defender in high school, and he was a great receiver. Mm-hmm. He was a terrific receiver. And so there's a chance that, you know, that Jake can be, you know, a pass-catching, you know, whatever you want to call it, fullback, H-back, hybrid player, and be really good at it. That edge rusher position, I'm just telling you, that takes a special to be really good.
Yeah, they're going to recruit those guys.
It takes a special player.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's not to say that Garrett Nelson and O'Shawn Mathis weren't special. You want to talk about guys that play hard. Both of them did. But you saw what 40 Mathis ran at the combine.
Yep.
It was a 4.78.
Yep.
And to get the great one, it's interesting because it doesn't necessarily correlate to star rating. Boye Mafe at Minnesota, I don't know what his star rating was. It wasn't. I don't think it was that great. But you know, he was a great athlete. You know, and you got to find guys that are like, Chief Borders probably fits the template the best. And we'll see with Sherman because you're going to have to convince me that at 260 pounds he's able to run a 4.4.
Yeah.
If he is, then that's pretty special.
Yeah.
And if he's able to actually do that. But Chief Borders is an example. It's more being fast than it is being strong. Like, and you can get stronger, and you have to retain speed. But you have to be really fast. And I don't know that Nebraska had the speed component. I don't know that Applegate necessarily fits that exactly. You need to be really, really gifted. You know, and I was saying this to somebody else. I think it was on our Pick Six podcast. You know, Jack Campbell of Iowa is an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah, and he doesn't get credit for it.
Combine,
and they talk about him. They talk about him like he's like a farm kid who, you know, like loves weightlifting a lot.
Right. Yeah, like he was, you know, like he was Mike Petco from 1990. People who remember that name from Nebraska. I mean, and Petco is a great player, but Jack Campbell's, I mean, he's Luke Kuechly. I mean, he's a giant cat. And you got to find those players. Oftentimes, they're a little on the skinnier side, and they're long and lean, and then you got to put a little weight on them and know how to keep them to retain their speed. But I feel like Nebraska has and nothing wrong with what they've done, but they've taken some guys and kind of bulked them up, and they've made them tough and all the rest. But they don't get around tackles, you know. They don't do that. So you either have to, as you just said, you either have to recruit that player, and usually that player is a high 4 or a low 5. Not that there's anything such thing as a low 5, but a 5-star. and there's only a handful of them, and most of them don't go to Nebraska. Or you have to take, like, really lean, fast athletes and move them into that position. And maybe Applegate is that, maybe he isn't. But Applegate was a darn good offensive player in high school.
Yep.
And part of being good on offense is knowing what to do and having skill, like ball skill, like being coordinated. Not that you don't have to be coordinated on defense, but I think that could be a good move. Bonner, we'll see. You know, I don't know. He's got some interesting skill sets, a lot of straight line speed. We'll see if he fits into that mold or not. You know, you're asking somebody to be quite a bit when you're asking to be either the kid from South Carolina who can fly for 245 pounds, and he was large, or Debo Samuel. That's just asking a lot. So we'll see what they do. I know this, they'd love to have Chancellor Brewington this year.
Mm.
You know, they would have loved to have had him because he already knew how to do it. And so he although he's a little smaller, you know, he hit like a 250-pound guy. So But they don't have him. He graduated, so they're going to have to do the best they can with what they have in the program, and we'll just see what it is.
All right, Sam, we'll let you go. Appreciate it. Welcome back to Spring Ball. Talk to you later.
And, all right, take care.
Sam McEwen from the Omaha World Herald. Quick timeout, but first, this Wednesday coming up, it's Woodhouse Wednesday on 1620 The Zone. Head to our website on Wednesday, 1620thezone.com, and enter to win a Car Essentials bundle. Car trunk organizer, wireless phone charging, mouth car cup holder expander, and a $100 gift certificate to Woodhouse for your oil changes, and a Yeti cooler. Hello. Plus, when you win on Woodhouse Wednesday prize pack, you'll be automatically entered into a grand prize of $2,600. Mark your calendars Wednesday and find all the details at 1620thezone.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.